Bibles up to 2 Kings, chapter 22, and we're going to move now on over to the glory of the perfect-hearted king that the Lord gave and put in Josiah. Now, what we're going to see here tonight is, and we've touched on this before, but we're going to see more and more of this double portion of the increase of the glory that will be revealed in the life of Josiah, even over the life of Hezekiah. And I thank the Lord. The Lord showed us these types of things. It's just like Elisha, when he received, when he took up the mantle, when Elijah was being taken up into heaven, he said, well, if I can't go, I want a double portion. And praise be to God, he sure got it. To the exact, and it wasn't about that, but if you even look at the mighty acts that God did through their lives, Elisha had twice as many of them as Elijah did. God knows what he's doing, just like he did with Job. He gave him a double portion, took him all the way through, but there was more. And I thank the Lord, that's the way he always finishes. He always finishes with the best wine. It's always the best wine last. I know we don't feel like it, but praise be to God for his grace. This is it. So we thank the Lord, and I do believe it. I believe we're right on the moment that we're going to hear the voice of our beloved. So we thank God that we'll see Josiah representing this double portion to us. And especially representing this bridal company of this church age that we, by the grace of God, press toward that mark for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The Lord has assured us these things, and no greater assurance do we have than in Hebrews chapter 11. You know, and let's go ahead and just turn over there. I didn't intend to, but we love to read about our promises. Amen? And it's so wonderful that God has given us the faith, see, to receive these promises in the full assurance of faith, believing that we stand upon them in as the pillars in the house of the Lord. Praise God. We know that they're ours and they're alive for us. And at the end of Hebrews chapter 11, which is so beautiful after it's running through all of these amazing worthies of faith, the Old Testament full overcomers from all the way back to the lives of Noah and Abraham, and speaking even of Adam all the way to David and Rahab, all of these precious lives that speak so richly to us because they're the Word and they're of the Word, just like we're of the Word. Praise God. And I thank God that's our life. And that's the life we live by the faith of the Son of God, which is the Word of God. So in that, as you run through all these things, in verse 39, it says, all of these, if you will, worthies of faith, all these full overcomers of the Old Testament, having obtained a good report through faith. And always remember that, brothers and sisters, there's no other good report but through faith. It's never going to come by works. It's never going to come by the flesh. It's going to come by it's going to come by faith, and it's going to come by the Spirit. So it says, all of these that having obtained a good report through faith, receive not the promise, but having provided some, but God, again, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. They can't be complete without us. And it tells us that we specifically have even a better thing. And thanks be to God, again, the Apostle Paul writing this to the Hebrews, we have those wonderful epistles that opened up to us the mystery of Christ in the church. And it's to us, and it's for us, and truly even required of us to know the mysteries. Amen? And God gave us the Holy Ghost to know those mysteries, who opens up all those things that eye has not seen, ear heard, nor has entered into the hearts of man what God has prepared for them that love him. But by his Spirit, yea, the deep things of God, the Holy Ghost. And the Lord goes into saying, how, look, this is for you. This is the whole bit of my plan is for you to possess it because I've already given it to you. But you need to walk through it. So we thank God for this precious assurance. But as we get into this, even the meaning of the names of these kings, Hezekiah, If you remember, his name means strengthened of the Lord. Wonderful thing, strengthened of the Lord. But Josiah, the name means sustained of the Lord. It's wonderful and needful to be strengthened. But Josiah even got the more. He got strength and the sustaining. And see, that's an encouragement to us to not grow weary, saints. Amen. To not lay down the crown by the grace of God. We need to be sustained to remain and abide in first love. Amen. Amen. That's called sustaining. Thank you, Jesus. We need to finish the course with that full joy. And that only comes through the Lord, yes, strengthening, but the Lord sustaining. So let's go ahead and read here as we're back here in 2 Kings chapter 22. Let's read the first two verses here. Again, introducing us, King Josiah. Josiah was 8 years old. 8 years old. Think of that. When he began to reign. And he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jedidah, the daughter of Adiah of Bosketh. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. So what we have here is we have a really precious, wonderful grace of God. We got an 8-year-old king. Isn't that beautiful? And I thank the Lord how it even emphasizes and magnifies this number 8. We know that that's the number of the bride in the Word of God. We rejoice over and over that that was the number of the lives that God, again, lifted out in that ark. There were 8. And so that should even get our attention right there. But right off the bat, going back to Hezekiah, it said that he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did. So Hezekiah did all that was right, as according to all that David his father did. But what we just read was Josiah not only did that was right in the sight of his father David, but there was a double portion. He also walked in all the way of David his father. Isn't that glorious? And I love it too as well. You notice it doesn't say he walked in all the ways of his father David. He just walked in the way of his father David. See, there's just one thing. There was just one thing about David's life. And that truly was, my heart pants after you. It's all about the heart. It's all about this love. It's all about the mercy and grace of God. We know the life of David. The Lord opened that up a little bit to us to see that he was a very fallible man. He made very bad decisions in certain instances, situations, circumstances, whether with his own son, with his life, and desiring a woman that wasn't his wife, murdering a man, numbering the people later on in his life, a lot of different things. But the benchmark was always the perfect heart, and the perfect heart was the heart after God's very own heart. And that was the way. That was everything about the way. That's why if you think about what we're told and what we're encouraged in the way, if you will, of the Apostle Paul, it's unto all them also that love his appearing. It doesn't go through all of these things that need to be done. It says that all them also that love his appearing. It's that same heart that was magnified with David, that heart that was after God's very own heart. We understand when the Apostle Paul talks about loving his appearing and really understanding Paul's gospel, you know what that love is. It's the love of the appearing of the bridegroom. That's the love. It's not just love seeing the Lord. It's not just loving seeing my Savior. It's the specific love and the knowledge of love that Paul goes through in all of those epistles and lays out in such fullness and assurance of what love this is speaking about. It's talking about the agape love. It's talking about the marriage love. It's talking about the first love. It's talking about the love that the church of Ephesus left. There's no doubt about what love Paul is speaking of here. That's saying that this crown, this exalted rank of righteousness that will be given to all them also, which is given to me, which is laid up for me now. That was all predicated on the same thing, that I've lived in this one way. I love him as my bridegroom. That's the benchmark. And that's the benchmark that this is speaking of David. It wasn't a benchmark of do's and don'ts. It wasn't a benchmark of here's how the flesh should work. Right. It wasn't a benchmark of works. It was a benchmark of grace. It was the benchmark of mercy. It was the benchmark of love. And I pray, brothers and sisters, we really apprehend this, because this is who wins. This is it. And so thankful to God that, you know, just listen to the words. He walked in all the way. One. The one thing. This one thing I do. Amen. It's all about one. It's so precise. It's a mark for the prize. It's not a shotgun blast. It's a pinpoint rifle. And you thank God for this. And I know we do together. But so what this goes on to tell us is that this double portion came to him. That he walked in all the way of David, his father. This is like Joshua, who walked through all the land. And then Joshua also knowing there's more land to walk through. Isn't that glorious? I can testify with you of Christ in us, the hope of glory. We have this testimony because it's his. We love the truth. We know the bridal message. But I thank the Lord, there's more land and there's more beauty of our bridegroom and our wedlock to walk through. Amen? That he wrote about what we are to him and what we share with him in all of this wondrous Old Testament that continues to come forward, even in the New Testament, that the layers that keep coming forward. Amen? This is our promise, just like that promise was to Joshua. And that's why Joshua, he could say, oh yeah, well, I know this piece and that piece, and I've been over here and I've been through that and everything like that. But I want to get out there some more, because there's more of it to walk through. There's more of it to see. Different vantage points to look at it from. I might go through the same place of that piece of ground, but man, I really never saw it like that. And I never saw it with the sunset like this or the sunrise like that. It'd be just like, you know, I thank God for the view I got out my house. Oh, I can see the mountains one time. Well, I saw that view. Man, I get up there every day, and you can ask my wife, my goodness, honey, come here, look at this. We've looked at that mountain thousands of times. But this time, that's the one that counts. Look what we're seeing. How much more is this? Thank you, Holy Ghost. So Hezekiah was given so much, but here, this purpose that was given to this Josiah was marvelous. Thinking of Joshua as well too, again walking through all the land. Moses knew it, but Joshua got to walk through it. You think again about with us the way of the Apostle Paul, following him as he followed Christ. Thank God. The way speaks of a double portion that Moses knew. It says he knew, yes, the ways of God. Israel only knew the acts of God. If you talk about the way or the ways of someone, what you're speaking of there is the internal heart reason for the actions. You understand the reason for the actions because you understand the heart. That's the way or the ways of God. And when you know the ways of God, you know what you know? It is one way. It's love. It is. It's love. And I just rejoicing again today how God is love. And yes, and I love it this way as well too. And Jesus is grace. That love gave us all grace. He gave us all Jesus. We're saved by grace, right? Through faith, we're saved by Jesus. He's grace. So wonderful. Grace, Jesus, it's interchangeable, because it's him. And we're going to see him real soon. Praise God. Now, let's go on here. The motivation of the way of God is always love. Always is. I thank God last night listening to Brother Dean minister this precious truth in love. He was speaking for a moment with chastening, and none of it is really joyous for the moment. It's not joyous to be chastened, but we know it's needful. We know it's vital, and we know that the Lord does it in love. And we know the Lord, even when he was dealing with Paul, as he deals with us, as Paul said, in like manner we will suffer. Exactly, because it's the path, it's the way of winning. But the Lord, in God's love, sent him a messenger of Satan to buffet him. That was love, because the Lord loved him so much that he was willing to allow Paul to suffer this with all of these different things, because he knew without it, Paul would be puffed up. And I love at least my personal revelation of that for my life, because I am so weak and my flesh is so bad. I thank God that he lets me know how bad my flesh is. And things that I never thought that I had, oh my goodness, I got that too. And it seems as if sometimes, brothers and sisters, I'll just tell you this. I know, I think we could sing this together. The further and the deeper he takes us, he's got to show us how weak and vile this wretched man really is. It don't get better. The outward man perishes. That means he gets worse and worse and worse. It's not that encouraging us to do bad stuff. You understand what I'm saying, right? Please understand that. I thank God for, again, his testimony of grace in you, his testimony of love in you. But see, it's the love that keeps you. And it's the love that keeps you from, and then it's the love that keeps you and causes you to will and do of his good pleasure. And I'm talking about the love for one another. You don't want to hurt me. I don't want to hurt you. Sometimes we do, but it's not something I get up out of bed and say, well, how can I mess with that brother or sister? No. I thank God. I believe we're in one in this. We get up on in our knees when we get up out of bed, and we're praying for one another. Amen. We know we got things, and sometimes God will have us have a sober moment with a brother or sister. And it isn't easy, as I said to a brother here coming in my office. It's not easy to be a pastor. No. There's moments I think, oh, Lord, I know what's going to happen here. I know what you want me to do. I know. It's the same Lord and speaking through his vessels the same way. He sent the prophets to go speak in different things. He's the same. He works the same. He don't change. And I understand how some of these prophets felt. Lord, I really don't want to go and say this. But I don't have a choice. And I thank God that his grace made it for me. So I leave that to God. Now, we are thankful because what we read here as well too going on is we're right back to a mom. Did you notice that in verse 2? Or verse 1 right there? And his mother's name was Jedidah. So glorious. The daughter of Adida, and that means adorned of Jehovah. That was the one that had her. So there was a lot of lineage there. But we're back to the mom. And do you remember how Hezekiah's mom was so vital in his life? And the reason for especially these two men, Hezekiah and Josiah, they had very ungodly dads. They had dads that did not want to turn to God. Matter of fact, did everything against the truth. But their moms brought the truth and the ways of God into their sons' lives. As the case with Hezekiah, his mama's name was Abby, if you remember that. Abby or Abijah. Jehovah is my father. That was her name. Jehovah is my father. What comfort there. And she needed that comfort. She came from a lot of dysfunction. A lot of things happened. She saw children burned right in front of her. She saw her husband doing that kind of stuff. And burning those kids to pagan gods. That's how ungodly that man was. But Jehovah was her father. But we even have a double portion here for Josiah's mom, Jedidah. Her name means beloved. So now we've moved from Jehovah's my father to beloved. You know, when I hear beloved, I don't know about you, and I don't think it's a stretch. I think that's love language. Do you not? I mean, come on. Beloved of the Lord. It's marvelous. And that means much love, deep love. That's even interchange of language between a husband and a wife. But I thank God that this Jedidah brought this full purpose truth to build up a perfect heart king. Because without that truth, that king can never have the perfect heart. And here we had beloved that brought that to her son. And I thank God for moms like this. I thank God for my mother. I thank God for Sister Robinson. What a mom. Thank God she stayed in the truth. She wasn't going to be rocked or moved. And thanks be to God, Grace made the choice, and Grace was where she planted her house. And how wonderful. And if the Lord tarry for the 13th of January, it was so sweet. The Lord put the memorial for message for your mama, Ty. I never told you this, but months back, I believe he told me he was going to take her home, and that's fine. I thank God for what she represents and what God has manifest so clearly through her life. Now, it was the queen. The queens were afforded this place with their sons. And the reason this was is because the queen had full access to the teachers and the priests. And they could dictate, train up, and educate their sons in the things of God. The kings, thank God, were usually busy running the show or doing whatever they were going to do. And they were being wicked, these two dads, as they sure were. But thank God for these women. God touched them to direct their children. And what a wondrous mom Josiah had. And it's evident here. All right. Now, let's go on over, speaking of that wonderful mom and the evidence of this wonderful mom. Now turn over to 2 Chronicles chapter 34. And we're going to read of Josiah and the introduction of him in verses 1 through 3. And we kind of read the same thing again over here in chapter 34 of 2 Chronicles. It says, Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. He reigned in Jerusalem 130 years. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. And here we go. For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, so now he was 8 years old, and now we're in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David his father. It didn't just say he was seeking after God. It was the God of David, his father. And notice here, he's 16 years old seeking after the God of David, his father. And the way of the God of David, his father, was the double portion of David. Praise God. And that's what's so beautiful here. It's wonderful, hallelujah, to walk in the way or walk in the ways of God. But again, the double portion came. He seeked God. He sought the Lord of his father, David. Again, the double portion, the much, the more. It wasn't just something that was common to him. It was intimate to him. It was everything to him. My goodness, when they find that word that was in the temple, when they bring that out to him, you'll see how intimate and how powerful and what a zeal God had given him. And then to know and to have the fullness of that word and then to bring it to the people. We're even going to see Hezekiah had others read it to the people. Josiah himself, he brought all the people out. He brought young and old out there, and he read it to them himself. That's how much he loved it. A reservoir of love. Praise God. That just poured out to the people. That's the perfect heart. Now, again, seeking God is wonderful, but seeking after the God of David. See, it's different. There's always the emphasis of the more. This wasn't just seeking after God. This was the God of his father David. It was the perfect way. It was the complete way. That's the filled with all the fullness of God's seeking way. That is seeking and panting after the Lord like a deer for the water. Amen? A few verses here. Let's go on over to Psalm chapter 27. Or Psalm 27, I should say. Psalm 27 and verse 8. And when thou saidest, seek ye my face. And know this. The Lord has to tell you to seek him. The Lord has to draw you. The Lord does everything. This isn't innate in us. This is God's grace. Hallelujah. And thank the Lord for it. This is you and a better thing. And more. All right? But here's David. And when thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. And who gave him the heart? So who told him to seek? Who gave him the heart? And then it's the heart, praise God, that says unto him, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Everything back to the Lord. And how beautiful this seeking. And this is that seeking of the face-to-face fellowship. Not that he just wanted to see God or be by God or whatever. He wanted to be face-to-face. Because that's what the Lord put in his heart. That face-to-face is a friend. That face-to-face, praise be to God, as we even has, as a lover. Going over to Jeremiah chapter 29. And what a wonderful chapter 29 is. But verse 11, we know this scripture very well. And oh, what a promise to us, brothers and sisters. What a promise to us. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end, or that thing longed for. Kind of sounds like the money that was brought into the temple for Josiah, the thing longed for. Remember that? See it all? Just so perfect. So perfect. Then shall ye call upon me. So think of this again. I know my thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. I've strewn out all the before ordained good works that ye should walk therein. And this is what's going to happen with this, because this is I'm God, and this is how it turns out. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go, and you pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. See, the Lord already foresaw all of this for all of us. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. When ye shall. That no maybe in there. This is God and his will. This is God and I'll have mercy upon whom I'll have mercy. Do you love to be, and I really will say this in such a beautiful way, do you love to be controlled by grace? Yes. I do. I love it. Oh, I fought against it at times. You have too. But then you begin to just settle down and let it just move you. Move your life. It's glorious. You begin to really thank him for what he foreknew and then what he finished. Praise the Lord. What he predestinated, finished is the same thing. Praise God. And God's word is yea and amen. And praise the Lord. He created time for us so it could all be made manifest. You see that? It was already done. But then it's like, well, but God's plan is, well, it's going to be made manifest. So I got to create time for that. Take me on, Lord. Amen. Let's go. Okay. So this is so beautiful here. That we see that he's the one that causes us to seek him. Now, let's go on over to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Kind of move here a little bit more. Hebrews 11, 6. We quote this verse often. We thank God for it because it puts it all back on him. Amen. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. And always think of that, brothers and sisters. The life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. So when I say it puts it all back on him, it's his faith. It's the life that he gave me when I died, took him. It's his life that he purposed and now lives in me. It's the life that lives by the faith of the Son of God. So all of this was set up by him, for him, do him, to him. Amen? So without faith, it's impossible to please him. And thanks be to God, I can't help but please him because my life lives by the faith of the Son of God. Amen. Praise God. I can't help but please him because that's how I live. Every Christian lives that way. They're still pleasing in every vessel. Even if it's the faith of a mustard seed, it sure pleases him. Amen. We don't have to think about great faith, brothers and sisters. You just let the Lord have you. He'll take you to the most holy faith. All right? So it says, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that what? Diligently seek him. See how important it is to seek God. But then again, we just read that he's the one that said, you're going to seek me. And then I gave you the heart that's going to speak back to me, that your face I will seek. You see? It's just so beautifully done. It's so beautifully made. It's so beautifully purposed. And with all the power of the Holy Ghost to perform this in our lives, brothers and sisters. So, and again, you get this. That's you. When you don't get this, I pray that that person will grow into it. But that's of God to do. He has to give the increase. Amen? But we don't know, so we preach. You talk about good news. This is good news. The bridal message is good news. And so you preach this and you're thankful. And then it hits. Right, Alex? Praise God, brother. The most blessed man there's ever been. I know him. His name's Alex. Praise God. And that's Alex. James is the same one. Lori, praise God, all of us, hallelujah. Because that's how it is, because it is one. Amen. So, you thank God here that he says that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. What do you think he set up for you to have? Reward after reward, but the reward. The crown reward. Think of how the Lord has graced you to diligently seek him. You're seeking him for one thing, the mark for the prize for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You're seeking him for the one thing, the crown, the exalted rank of righteousness. You're seeking him for one thing, my bridegroom. You're seeking him to rule and to reign jointly together with him, to be glorified together with him. That's diligently seeking him. And that's a reward. That's the prize of all time. Thanks be to God, the lover of our soul. Now, so going on. David represented this benchmark. Amen? And he did. He represented this benchmark, which I'll say it like this. It's the high calling of God in Christ Jesus to the Old Testament saints. Praise the Lord. That was it. It was that mercy. It was that grace. It was that love. It was that heart. Every single king, every benchmark was back to the way and the heart and the trust and the love and seeking as my father David. It wasn't anyone else. It was that. And it was that love and that purposed heart that God always pointed to. David would be the seeking of God to be in the company of the many graves that were opened in Matthew 27. You see what I'm saying? Those graves that were opened in Matthew 27, it says, at that time, Christ opened many of the graves of the saints, not all of them. So here was this resurrection at that time, amen? And if you were an Old Testament full overcomer, that's the resurrection you wanted. That's the resurrection of the 24 elders, praise be to God. That's that resurrection. And that's what they wanted. That's what they wanted to attain to. Amen? As an Old Testament believer, you don't want to still be, in a sense, in the grave. You had the opportunity to be resurrected. You had the opportunity to have a body like unto his own glorious body way back then as an Old Testament believer. And the benchmark was David. Oh, yes, it was. It was that heart, that grace. And here we are. And we're waiting for that resurrection. Same thing for us, but a better thing. Amen? See, praise God. He's not creating something new in all of this. His way is still the same. And he shows us his pattern of love always, always. And it's there for all. And that promise is laid out to God's people. But how many of them ever took it? How many went into the promised land? How many gave all the excuses of why? And getting mad at this, and I think I got slighted, and dad liked him more than this, and he got that position and I didn't, and I'm jealous, and you know, and on and on and on and on. And those are the ones that are still in their graves. Those are the murmurers and complainers, as opposed to those like a Jonathan. I'm so thankful that David is my king. And no one exceeded that heart. Jonathan had the heart, my goodness, maybe even before David did. Before David really knew it. I'm not kidding. You understand this. That same heart that was in David was in Noah. Well, how did that happen? It doesn't matter about time. It's the heart. It's that exact love. It's that purpose. Doesn't matter what everybody else is saying. This is what God said. It's going to happen. It don't matter. He's going to save us. He's going to take us out of here. That's the heart of those that believe like that. So, the Old Testament worthies of faith, they make up that wonderful company of the 24 elders, the highest rank of the Old Testament. To us, brothers and sisters, this is our high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And you know what the Word of God says? That we follow Paul as he followed Christ. There it is. There's the benchmark. That is if our by any means we might attain to that out resurrection, to be in the first rank company of the New Testament saints. Amen. Just like they had the first rank company of the Old Testament saints. And those graves were open and they were resurrected. Matthew 27, and there they went. And those that didn't believe with the perfect heart, they didn't go. Oh yeah, that's the truth. So we thank the Lord that the first rank company, the bride of the Lamb, the four living ones that rule and reign jointly together with Jesus Christ, that is our better thing. Now, how does this all come? Let's wrap up with this tonight. And whose way in seeking do we follow? Well, we already said it. The Apostle Paul. And I thank God that God has graced our hearts with this. And I thank God to follow Paul as he followed Christ thrills our heart. Do you hear the thrill in Hezekiah and especially in Josiah that he sought the Lord like the God of his father David? He loved that. He loved the testimony of his father David. He loved that encouragement. He loved that truth that came through that brother in the Lord. That's the same love there were and thankfulness. Not to, again, they didn't build idols to David. They didn't worship David. We don't build idols to Paul, and we don't worship Paul. But we're thankful for that vessel of incredible mercy. And once again, as I mark often in this place, no one preached, spoke of, used the word mercy, not even near as many times as David did. Think about the Apostle Paul. He brings in even an elevated message of mercy in the message of all grace. Amen. Let's talk about our mark for the prize and some verses just before we commence tonight. Go on over to 1 Corinthians 11:1. Let's read these things and rejoice. This is our hope of our calling. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11:1, "Be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." Praise God. Thank God for the boldness of this brother. And thank God we know that it's that gospel that was given to Paul that will judge the secrets of the hearts of men. Amen. All right. Going over to 2 Timothy chapter 2. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7, Paul says to Timothy, "Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things." No one in the Word of God speaks with this authority. They just don't. Because Paul was given the dispensation. I always love how Brother Hill would always speak of it. He was the domestic, the housekeeper. Yes, the Word of God calls him the master builder. Amen. And we build thereupon. We go on. But we need to be very mindful. Mindful of the way, praise God, and following Paul as he followed Christ. That perfect-hearted king. Go on over to Romans chapter 16. How wonderful. Just having a good time in Jesus. And Romans 16. What we have in Christ, we got it all. Now to him, this is Romans 16:25, now to him that is of power to establish you. Isn't that glorious? He's got the power to establish you. You don't establish a thing. Because you can't do a thing. But he's got the power to do it. And what? To establish you according to my gospel. What authority. Isn't that glorious? And thanks be to God that that is our gospel. Just we step into those same shoes. This is my gospel. Because this was the gospel that was given to Paul and his gospel, it's my gospel. Just like Paul said, you're partakers of my grace. And I've got that grace, so it's my grace. Paul's grace is my grace. That's all grace. Because that's the specificity of that grace that Paul was speaking of, just like all those that love his appearing. We know what love that is. If you know the message of the mystery of the bride and the church, right? Those things are just known. But praise the Lord, he says, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelations of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest. Glorious. And by the scriptures of the prophets. It was all in there. Amen. We know that. But thank the Lord for this chosen vessel, that it was revealed to him. As he said, Paul said, it was revealed to me for you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Ephesians 3:2. Just a few more. Ephesians 3:2. Here's Paul. If ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word. Man, heard of the dispensation of the grace of God? To be this domestic, this housekeeper of the grace of God? Paul, you really think of yourself like that? Praise be to God. He knew he was chosen of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, and it's not in arrogance, it's in absolute thanksgiving to God to have that faith. And we need to have that faith. That this truly has been given to us, this
magnificence of this grace of God. And Paul goes on to say in verse 3, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read what was given to me, what was wrote afore in few words, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. If you don't understand Paul's knowledge, you'll never understand the mystery. If you don't have that perfect heart, Paul's knowledge, you'll never have the perfect heart. There's no other way to get there. This makes it so clear, it's so beautiful, it's so exact. I just thank the Lord. The simplicity that is in Christ. I love being simple. This life can be so complex. Everything's so hard. And the yoke of God is so easy. And it truly is. Now, turn on over to Colossians 1:25. Paul again, wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill, to complete the word of God, to fulfill, to complete Jesus, was given to me for you. Such authority, such power. But that same principle of always he sought the Lord, he walked in the way, all the way of his father David, the God of his father David. You see the same pattern? How it was always that mark, it was always that. And the Lord is so faithful to us. It's so simple. If you think about those kings, there they were. If you were going to be a king, what would you do to be successful? What did my father David do? I don't want to do anything different. I want to do exactly. I want that heart. I want that life. I want to seek the Lord in that way. I want to approach God in the way that David approached him. Go start reading the psalm. Go start dancing before him naked. Go start thanking him for when you make your bed in hell, he's there with you. Go start thanking him that the mercies of the Lord endure forever. The mercy of the Lord endureth forever. You ever get into that psalm where he just keeps saying, and the mercy of the Lord endureth forever, and the mercy of the Lord endureth forever, and the mercy of the Lord. He couldn't get over it. That was the mark. And here we have even the more grace, and we have the Apostle Paul. And finally, Galatians chapter 1. And this is your gospel. In verses 8 and 9, how could it be any more clear for us? But though we, and there we are, we're there, and we're here in that same we, the same yesterday, today, and forever, or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. How much clearer could it be that this is all about first love preaching? This is all about the mystery preaching. This is all about the mark for the prize preaching. Aren't you thankful? Perfect-hearted kings. Praise God. Let's stand, be dismissed.